Crisps, but winter has come.
Welcome to the hottest podcast, 16s and Things, blending sports and hip-hop with your favorite host, Ms. 100. So turn up the volume and let's get into it.
What's good, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the 16s and Things. This is episode 46. God damn. Here in Philly, we done had motherfucking earthquakes. Now they saying on Monday we got an eclipse coming. There's some wild things going on. Wild things going on. I'm going to jump right into my first topic, and I got to talk about this. Bronny James, and I fucking hate saying his name. I really do. I hate saying his first name. I don't know if he has a real first name or if that's a nickname. But anyway, he announces that he's entering the 2014 NBA draft. Also, while maintaining to actually still keep his college eligibility, because those, you may not know, or you may know, that he is transferring from USC. He's in the portal now, but out of nowhere he made the decision that he said he wanted to enter the NBA. Now, I gotta say, this is just my opinion, y'all. I think his dad is up to this. This might be a reach. Y'all might say I'm trolling, but I think his dad is up to this. And the reason why I say this is because LeBron is a business guy. And where I'm going with this is, when I mean a business guy, he wants to break records. That's all he's been doing his whole career. Breaking records. Because LeBron is a guy that kept himself in shape and able to play long enough to break these records. He has broken a lot of our legends that we have known to help hold on to records for years. But he did it because this nigga been playing like 30 fucking years. I'm exaggerating, y'all, but LeBron is 39 years old, and he's been playing since he was like 19 years old. I mean, think about it. Somebody like him who has been playing at such a long time and listen, I'm not taking that away from his play. He's a very, very great player. But me personally, I can't throw him over Michael Jordan. I just can't. But anyway, I was on a whole nother fucking thing, but let me stick to the topic. I think his dad is up to this. He wants his son to go to the NBA so he can play with him. And I'm going to tell y'all now, if this nigga gets drafted by the fucking LA Lakers, who I've been a fan of Lakers since Magic Johnson was pushing point, I swear, I'm burning all my Lakers hats. Lakers, anything Lakers, I'm fucking burning it, because I think it's corny. I think it's corny. Me as a fan, I don't want to see this shit, because it's just to fucking break a record. LeBron doesn't have long in the NBA. 2 years tops. So that's why I think his dad is behind this, because he wants his son to come to the NBA before he fucking retires. Because LeBron know he's probably going to retire in another 2 years or so, whatever. You know what I mean? So that's it. That's my opinion about that. I'm going to stop there. Radio, TV, and even the press say, what's the meaning of VAPORS? Okay, back to my next topic. I wanted to get into this topic, talking about rappers, female rappers per se. Are they over sexualized in the industry right now? And what I'm doing right now is, with this topic, is it's not going to be just my opinion based. I have with me Shandia Emanuel.
1M.
He said 1M. So what's up, Sean? What's up? You know, I call her Sean for short. But we're going to actually get into this. She going to give her opinions. We're going to really get into this, because I wanted a male point of view and I wanted a female point of view on the over-sexualization of female rappers. in the industry right now.
I did not know that that was the topic, but I can elaborate on that. But can we get more into something else in the topic of just these females? Because it's not just over-sexualization that they're in. It's a whole bunch of shit that they're in.
Keep it going. I'm not stopping nothing, okay, though.
Okay, so what do you want to ask me?
It's not what I want to ask you. Oh, okay. It's what we seeing. You know, we all on social media, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We all the visual eye candy that we get is constant every day. It's like on overload right now. It's not just the rappers, like you said. It's not just the rappers. It's just fucking everything is just so sexualized right now. Everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like becoming so redundant. And I know like some men probably hear this and be like, damn, Miz, you tripping. Yo, them bitches look good. This and that. Like,
them
yo.
Bitches.
Right. But niggas gotta stop living for the Instagram whores, yo. You gotta stop living for that shit, yo. Like, that shit ain't reality. It really isn't.
Okay, first of all, let me just say this. A lot of these females are not eye candy. They are eye sores. Just let's get that out there in the first place. Wow. As a woman, no, I don't have a tummy tuck. I ain't got a fat butt. I do have a little bit of hips, boobs. If you look at me, I'm just a regular old female. I'm not rapping. I am a writer. I'm a book writer. I write poetry. I do things like that. But I am natural for everything that I have because I don't want to be anything than what I am. And this is what God gave me. After having 3 kids, I got a gut. Do I need to go to the gym and work it out? Yes. Do I need to tighten up my hips and all that? Yes. Not because to be sexy or to get a man, but to be healthy. Because the bigger your stomach is, the more likely you are to have a stroke or a heart attack. And just to let women know, our symptoms are different from men. Women's symptoms for having a heart attack, we feel like we have indigestion, you know, we just feel like we burping a lot, or, you know, we might have menstrual cramps, it feel like. And men have pain in their arms and stuff like that. So first of all, we have to understand women, we are different as men. So you have to understand your anatomy and your physiology. That's the first thing. So what was next? Are they over-sexualized?
Yeah, I want to get into how you feel about these female rappers being over-sexualized and the attention only being on the so-called sexy rappers when you do have other rappers that may not be as sexy, but their topics and content is different than just selling pussy and... you know what I'm saying.
Well, I'm going to go back and forth with rappers who have fake bodies and have real bodies because Cardi B, I'm not going to lie, she reminds me of my sister Yasin. And Cardi B is the realest fake rapper I've ever seen. And I absolutely love her because she knows she fake with the body. But she be real with the shit that she be saying, and she don't give a fuck. Yeah, I was selling pussy. Yeah, I was doing this. Yeah, I got this fake body. Yeah, I scratched the shit out of my ass with these $200 nails. Like, I like that. But I don't like the fact that she changed herself into something. Because she was beautiful before.
She was.
I understand getting her teeth fixed. Yeah. You know, people.
She was beautiful with a flat butt.
She was beautiful. With a flat butt, she, you know, she had a nice body. She was right. A little body, you know.
She was petite.
Right. And she was, but at the same time, her realness has never changed. Only her body.
Right.
And what I say about that is that I have a problem with women altering their body because they seem like they don't like themselves and they want to change that about themselves. Be yourself. I grew up in the Nation of Islam, and the first thing I've learned was to be yourself. Know yourself and be yourself.
And do for self.
And do for self. So when I see that, it's like, okay, but she don't be overexerting it, you know, like, I don't know. I love Cardi B. I do. It's just love Cardi B. She's real with her words and her sayings and everything she say is just off the top real. She don't be thinking like, oh, I gotta make this politically correct and I don't have to do this and I don't have to do that. And right. I love that about her.
But
I
you know,
am not into people altering their body.
I'm gonna say this. That's actually, besides Cardi B altering her body, but that's actually how she sold herself to the public. That's why they love her so much, because of the realness and authentic.
I don't know that.
You know what I'm saying? Because she's the typical hood chick that made it. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, she altered her body and all that to, you know, better her appearance, mm-hmm. to get more money and, mm-hmm. you know, more contracts and shit like that. But
I know you like her. You like her. That's just the American way. Yeah. You got to look at it.
It's a business.
It's a business.
She turned her whole brand into a business. You know what I'm saying?
Right. She turned her way into a business. And I don't want to contradict myself by saying I like Cardi B, because I really don't care for Nicki Minaj.
Mm.
Now, Nicki Minaj to me, for one, she's a foreigner. I'm from Baltimore. And I grew up with Jamaicans, Trinidadians, Guyanese, Haitians. Like, so we was like, half of Park Heights was like Caribbean. The other half was Yankees or Americans, whatever you want to call it. I'm not saying that because that. I'm saying that because Caribbean women really usually have more soul and love and sexuality for themselves and just like into themselves.
So you don't think Nicki got that going on for herself?
No, because evidently she does not or did not feel that way, because not only did she change her butt, her stomach, titties. Her face, her titties, like, it's like she lightened her skin, like these things right there, and then you just keep expanding and expanding. Like, how much of a black woman do you want to look like? You already a black woman. You already the queen of the earth and the universe. So how much of a black woman, how shapely do you want to be? And why do you want to be that? For the man that you're with? For the man that you're trying to get? Like, because as a woman, a black woman who consider themselves queen, queeness, queenette, you know, my king, my kingness, my kingnet, you know, your king out here slinging.
Mm. And is you slinging coke or is you slinging dick?
Both.
Damn.
And you out here queening, changing and altering your body and things like that. And, you know, I have a child who's altered herself.
Yeah, let's get into that. How'd that make you feel as a mother?
I cried. When she told me she was going to do it years before she's done it, I actually cried. And I said, why? Because I've always asked my children.
Which body part did she change?
As far as I know, her breasts and her
butt. Oh, she did her breast.
Let me just say this. And I don't want to say I agree with one part, but not the other part. But in my family, we are very... Some of us are very
top heavy
and have to get surgeries, you know, in the back, the neck to get, you know, because it pulls on the neck and the back. So with that being said, I don't have that and I wouldn't do it. But I have two daughters that actually have had that done. And my youngest daughter, I kind of understand. She had a frame of 5'1". She was 34. Double G. I don't even know what that is. She always complains. She always sit humped over.
Where did you get that from?
My dad's side of the family.
Oh, okay.
And so she was always humped over, always had back pain, always had neck pain. I don't want to say that it's right that she got it.
She got the reduction?
I think she did.
Good.
I don't talk to her, but this is what I heard. For health reasons. Right,
good.
For health reasons. This is what I heard, because we don't talk. And then my middle daughter had a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful body. I'm talking about 6'1", tall.
She got the height from her dad?
She got the height from my mom's side of the family.
Your mom's side.
And her dad's side of the family is tall, too. But she's 6'1", big boobs, they was way too big, but she got that from my side.
Did she get a reduction as well?
She got a reduction.
Okay.
And she got her butt done, which looks a mess.
Yeah.
And when I saw it, it looks a mess.
But here's the thing, though. Do you think her getting her butt done actually, like, helped her brand? Because I remember you was telling me that she does, like, clothes. She got her own clothing line and stuff like that.
The pictures that I have of her brand when she did her Lee Essentials, that's what they're called, Lee Essentials.
That's her brand.
That was her brand. When she did her pictures in them, oh, my God. Her stomach, her butt, everything was just like a young black woman. It wasn't the Megan Thee Stallion. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a Nicki Minaj. But it was an Aaliyah. Mm. My Aaliyah. That's her name. But so it was beautiful. And then when I saw a picture of her, and I'm like, oh, my God, her butt. Her skin tone is like
totally different color, huh?
Meg Thee Stallion, then her butt is like Wesley Snipes, and I'm like, yo, yo, what on, the? Yo. You know, come like on, that's yo. Not. And then I'm not even sure so she got her lips butt, done. Her lips are her butt already is, looking her butt like is chocolate,
and her breast is caramel.
Tan, right?
That's crazy, yo.
And then I don't know if she got her lips done, but her lips are already like Jay-Z's. Yeah. But they were beautiful. They were big, full so, lips.
Do you think beautiful. She have a lack of love for herself? What's going on?
She's a middle child. Mm-hmm. And people might not understand. There isn't such thing as middle child syndrome. And I do believe that she had that. I don't want to stick on my daughter because I don't want her to think I'm bashing her or anything.
Right. No,
but all her cohorts, her friends around her age, they have gotten the same thing, the same work done. And I'm just saying, I'm not into it, because I was talking about Nicki Minaj, that's where I went with it.
So,
but
I want to ask you this, not to be cutting you off, but do you think at this point, this is like a generational thing? Because I know your daughter is around the same age as these Cardi B's and Nicki Minaj.
She'll be 29 this year.
Right, and they all around the same age. So, even though your daughter isn't a rapper, you know what I'm saying? She's but she's in the entertainment circle. World.
When she was
you know
in New York, she was but, in their circle yeah. of those people. And I will always, let me just tell you that I have three daughters. I've always asked my daughters, when them Kardashians first came out, because I'm not into that shit. When them Kardashians came out, they was like, oh, is her butt fake? Is her titties real? Is this real? That bro? That bro? I always ask my kids, like, how do y'all feel about the Kardashians? How do you feel about yourself? I always ask my kids, do you feel insecure about yourself? Do you feel insecure about this? Do you feel insecure about that? Like, always, always throughout their lives, I ask, and they be like, Mom, you are so, you ask such so questions, like, that is so personal to me. But I don't care because I want to know because you're my child and you're a representation of me. No, I'm not the best representation of anybody because I'm completely out of my mind. But I am real and I am my own person. And anybody that knows me, no, if you want to hear something real, you want to know something real, come and ask Shondia and she will tell you the realest shit you have ever heard. And you can ask anybody that know me. And I mean anybody that know me from Baltimore, Philly, Jersey, and New York, and Washington, D.C.
First of all, I can actually vouch for that because, you know, so many of, you know, the people on my side, they be like, yo, where's Sean at? Yo, that's the realest motherfucker I ever met, you know? Like, they say that all the time. It's just not like a one-time thing that they said this about you. No, it's real talk. You know, my brother.
I know Dre. That's my boy. Yeah, I love shout Dre. Shout out Dre. I love Dre. Shout out
Drizza. You know, he says it all the time. He actually just recently said that shit the other day, you know. But what you need?
Tell me.
Oh, yeah. I got more in the refrigerator.
Okay.
But Dre talks about that all the time. But I actually want to also get into what just recently happened with rapper Sexy Red was invited to a school to talk to children
about what?
And they, well, we're gonna get into that, okay. But she was invited to talk to the kids. Number one, I don't know if this was a high school, middle school, or elementary school. I'd have to put that out there, but she showed up to the school smelling like marijuana. So they turned her away. So my whole point of this is, with these schools, with knowing Sexy Red's behavior, you know about her, what did you expect? You know, because they put this out. They made this known. Now, you got to think about this, right? The school didn't have to make that known. But Sexy Red made it known because she felt some type of way when they turned her away, right? Mm-hmm. She like, yo, I'm going to create a whole fiasco outside the school. And she had people video recording her. She said, fuck, when the students come out, we going to have a party.
But let me
she
say this.
She was outside the school turning up.
See, let me say this. Black people don't have to be niggas all the fucking time. Bitch, you showed up to the place smelling like weed. That's fine. The school was wrong for turning her away, first of all. If she came up to the school with coke on her nose, dope needle in her vein, you know what I'm saying? Or a crack pipe in her mouth. Okay, I can dig it. She came up there smelling like weed. Who gives a fuck? But for her to react like that should be the reason why they should not invite her to another fucking school.
I agree.
Because you act like that. You don't have to act like that. Okay, they turn you away, but like, you know what? Y'all know I smoke marijuana. Right. Well, marijuana is legal in this state or this state.
She might have a marijuana card.
And she might have a card. But if she ain't coming there coked up, doped up, cracked up, you know what I'm saying? Those are the things you should worry about. Or even alcohol. Or Xannies. Or Perk. Or Suboxone.
Yeah.
Or
Link the fuck over for
right.
the kids.
She on lean. Like, if she's not doing all that, her smelling like marijuana. These kids smell marijuana walking to and from school on their school buses, on the metro buses.
And let's say this.
And if, their parents might
we
smoke
don't know. What if she don't even smoke weed? What if the motherfuckers in her entourage smoke
right,
weed?
What if
and she just sitting on the bus. She just sitting on the car.
What if the Uber driver had medicinal weed?
Right.
What if she took an Uber and the Uber driver had medicinal weed and was smoking? Like, we don't know that. But her reaction. But see, this is the thing. As black women, we have lost control of ourselves. So when we see, oh, somebody, as we say, hating or dissing us or whatever, we act a complete fucking fool. Stuff a lot, excuse my language. But we act a complete fool. You don't have to be a complete nigga. All you have to do is say, you know, due to unforeseen circumstances, I smell like marijuana, and they rejected me from the school. And that is why I did not show up today. That would have been the professional, that would have been the studious thing to do. But to go up there and probably start twerking and smoking your weed, fuck this school, and y'all bitches suck my ass, lick my pussy, and all that dumb shit.
It's out of pocket.
It's out of pocket because now you got the students doing this ignorant ish, and that's what they do. And that's why our little girls, I see people have their kids 4, 5, 6 years old. I'm going to the Nicki Minaj concert. Why? Nigga, you need to be reading the Bernstein Bears or Cat in the Hat, or you need to be reading Message to the Black Man, or, you know, How to Eat to Live. Like, you need to be reading or doing something constructive. Jamal, stop taking pictures of me. you need to be doing something constructive for your community. When you get rejected from these places, do something constructive. Okay, I showed up to your school smelling like marijuana. I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. Yes, I do smoke marijuana. If that's not your thing, don't do it.
Right.
Just let them know. If that's not your thing, don't do it.
So
don't smoke cigarettes. Shit, that's worse than marijuana.
It is.
Cigarettes is worse than all that shit, for real.
Cigarettes.
And alcohol.
Cigarettes is made of rat poison. Just know that. In closing.
We finished already?
We're going to close this topic up because I got other topics to get to.
Oh, my bad.
Because Yeah, my next topic is going to be heavy, too.
Can I just say one thing, though?
Go ahead.
I want to say that Suki with the good coochie is a musician. Yo. I just wanted to say that. On that
note, I'm going to wrap it up right there. I'm rhyming and designing, also creating the dope dev rhyme that is always being taken by a sucker MC that wants to be like me. We're back. Where do I start with this Diddy fiasco? We got earthquakes. We got shit going on. Israel out of pocket with Palestine. So much going on in the world. And we talking about this nigga Diddy. But this what you niggas like. And this is what we gonna give you. First of all, I'm gonna start. Listen, Diddy been doing his thing for well over fucking 30 years. Would you say, Sean? Well over 30 years of entertainment, right?
30 plus.
Yeah, 30 plus. So everybody is like trying to compare this nigga to the 60s activists. Like, I seen Maino in the interview. He tried to compare motherfucking Puffy to the 60s activist. Just stop it, Maino. You out of pocket. Puffy is in no comparison to those kind of men. Those kind of men, 60s, 70s, even the 50s, Puffy is on no type level with them. Let's put that out there. And this, all this whole, they want to take a black man down bullshit. No, fuck that. How many people died that's around Puffy? Matter of fact, Diddy, he carries that energy, yo. That I'm the shit energy. You know how many stories I heard about this nigga? The sidebar stories? Because I was in the music industry too, so I know the stories. I know the fucking stories. I know people too. Yes, Miz 100 was in the industry. I used to manage artists. I was an A&R. I used to run a record label. I know people that know Puffy. Yes, that nigga is a problem. All that old black man, y'all taking the black man down bullshit. Come on, man, stop that. Now, the only thing I will agree on is when you had the white people don't do shit like make memes about Weinstein and, you know, they don't make memes about their peoples when they going through shit. Even how y'all killed Bill Cosby and R. Kelly and all that dumb shit. You know, it was the niggas that was on social media creating these memes about their own people. But fuck all that. Yo, Diddy is he's a sexual deviant, yo. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know if I said that word right. Mm-hmm. But if I did, y'all know what the fuck I'm talking about. The nigga gets high off of power. He gets high off power, yo. How long do you think you can last without karma coming back around to you? Everybody around this motherfucker done die. His kid's mother, the mother of his kids, Kim Porter, her death is suspicious. Suspicious. You know? What they say, she had COVID?
I think she had COVID.
Oh, you think she had COVID? I don't know. The shit sounds suspicious. I don't know. I could be out of pocket for that. But what's your opinion, Sean? What you think?
Well, first of all, let me just say this. Puffy, first of all, Maino, I only know the one song that nigga came out with. I just want to know who cut that nigga throat, because he was probably either snitching or was about to snitch. And that's what I get from that. But with Puffy, I see him as a Quincy Jones, because Quincy Jones had those same exact allegations, but he was just cool enough to keep his shit under the radar.
Payments.
But with Puffy, Quincy Jones, and these other guys who sexualize and molest and rape our men and women are only doing to them what was taught to them by their slave owners. So when I look into the industry world, a lot of times, even with the upcoming fall of Jay-Z and Beyonce, they only do what they only say and do what they were taught. And yes, it is natural in the black community that you got some 25-year-old drug dealer messing with a 15-year-old high schooler. And that shit is completely acceptable by both her parents, his parents, all that. That's an acceptable thing. But when you out here raping women, biting them and abusing them and treating them like they don't want to be treated. First of all, I have to say, where are the fathers to these women? Because the first nigga that would have bit me or tried to rape me or any of that shit would have been murked. Bernard Emanuel, rest my father's soul, would have killed all the niggas that was associated with them. These women do give it up. I understand that. Real women. Real women. And that's the thing. Ain't no romance without finance. But at the same time, when you in power and you having sadistic fucking parties with kids and like, I mean, when I say kids, young boys, it's different for a young boy to be raped than a young man, because a young boy have to, and a young woman, they both have to fight with their sexuality. But with a young boy, it's like, oh my God, do I want a woman to reproduce? Or do I want a man because that was my first encounter with sexual activity?
Man, that's crazy.
You know, that's crazy. So my whole thing with the whole Diddy thing, this nigga was just following his slave owners. And, you know, no, we do memes about our people and stuff like that. But just like white people, they don't discuss politics or religion. Niggas discuss everything. And everything is not to be discussed. Because we don't know how to talk, first of all. We don't know that we are the kings and queens of the entire universe. So whatever's sitting out there next to Mars or Saturn, that's our people. And this eclipse that's coming up, this is us. This is our people. We are the governors and governesses of this universe, this galaxy. This is us. And the sad part is that we're coming into this part of life with such fuckery. Excuse my language. But we're coming into this with extorting our young boys, extorting our young women, altering ourselves, changing ourselves. When our people come here to, even if they're coming here to save us, they're coming here and they're looking at monsters. Like, we think we're looking at monsters on something like on Independence Day. When they come here, they looking at something like on Independence Day, because we have altered ourselves so much. And we have changed ourselves so much that that's what they're looking at. Like, that's not the people I come to save or whatever, right? You know? So that's just how I look at it. Like, the whole Puffy thing, you know.
Let me ask you this. You think he gonna end up in jail? I don't think he gonna end up in jail. I think his
everybody's a sexual predator.
I think his representation is dumb. Is that over? But I don't think he'll end up in jail though.
I just feel like if any of them end up in jail, it's just, let me just say this. Why go to jail? Why are you even going to jail for stuff that people are just doing? People just want to be raped. Sex, fuck, cut, tuck, all that. So why are you going to jail? Why are you going to jail? Like, you shouldn't go to jail. They're tucking, cutting, and it's doing punishment. All this stuff.
America got to punish them.
America got to punish themselves. That's what America has to do. They have to punish themselves. That's not going to happen because the black man won't stand up. That's why it won't happen. And the black woman is out of control. And 75% of the world is judged on the black woman. She does.
Yo, that's facts.
How she acts, what she wears, how she talks, walks, and everything is judged on us. So you have to look at yourself, and you can be black as coal, or you can be as light as a feather. You are a black woman. And in that, you should love yourself. You can have a flat butt, a big butt, no titties, big titties, flat stomach, big stomach, wide hips, no hips, snap knees, bow legs, pigeon toes, cock feet, whatever you want to call it. Love yourself, be yourself, know yourself, and do for self. Like, that's what we should be focused on. Then you would not be getting predatorized by niggas like Puff Daddy, Jay-Z. What's that old nigga name I said?
Old nigga you talking about?
Rashida and them dead. Kidada and Rashida and them dead.
Oh, shit.
Jones. What's his name? What's that nigga? What's that brother
Quincy
name?
Quincy Jones.
Like, why do we have to molest our people? You know why? Because the white man raped our black men in front of our black women to demoralize, to like bring them down. But see, it's the black woman. See, that's why 75% is based on the perception of the black woman. See, if the black woman stands up, get that shit out your body. You're dying to look like shit. You're dying to look like who you are. You are already big breasts, wide hip, fat butt. And if you're not, and if your dude don't like that, that's on him.
They don't believe
that's
himself.
His insecurity.
Yeah, don't believe
you himself. Have to love yourself. Puff Daddy like these little light skin, skinny, long hair models, young, you know, like just young, 18, 19 years
old.
He
liked the men too, though.
And he liked the young, pretty boys, the Ushers.
The rapper E-Ness from Philly said he couldn't get invited to certain.
Because E-Ness is not cute.
Yeah,
he's not pretty.
But no, E-Ness said it, though. He said you gotta look a certain way.
You
gotta weigh a certain way.
Wow.
You gotta think a certain way. Ena said this in an interview.
Let me just go back to Mano. Because I did like that one song that you came out with
about
12 years ago.
Yeah,
was the only song I liked of yours.
Yeah,
but nigga, I always wonder who slipped your motherfucking lip in jail. Because you was talking shit, was about to talk some shit. So that's why you slipped your lip and not your face, not your chest. But I'm just saying that Diddy, whatever you call yourself, Sean Puffy Combs, your mother been trying to look like Lil' Kim. Like, this shit is fucking ridiculous.
It's a mess,
y'all. Like, his mom, and I'm not even exaggerating, his mom wear blonde wigs and red lipstick.
She's trying to look young.
Like, come on, miss. You choco.
There. She's trying to get
and
that
I'm
young
saying
penis.
That.
Trying
I don't.
Young penis.
My thing is this. This is one thing I feel like. And I didn't say this in the last part, but I'm going to say in this part. When we was talking about the females. When I said, I don't dislike Nicki Minaj's music. I dislike the way she presents herself. And on top of that, people don't know, her brother molested his stepdaughter. She had semen in her underwear of her brother, and she asked President Obama to exonerate this guy.
Her husband
was a sexual predator as well, and she had a baby by him.
But you know what that says,
but
right?
Then listen to this.
You're so used to the rape culture,
so you're used
culture.
To that. He love all that fake big ass, all your money. He gonna do what you say. You know, like Mike Epps was saying, like, don't live with a bitch that's paying all the bills and you living with her because, Ma, he drank all the, you know, the Capri Suns and shit. But when Nicki Minaj first really saw Lauryn Hill, she bowed down and put it on her page. Oh my God, this is my goddess. Yeah, this is my queen. That can't be a goddess. That can't be a queen. I think
it was fake.
Because at the end of the day, I don't see that Lauryn Hill has changed her face, her body, her stomach, her twat, her legs, her feet.
If you really look up to her.
If you look up to her, you want to be that. You would not want to light your skin.
Right.
You want to up your titties, flatten your
even
stomach.
Even your content going to be better.
Even your content. All you talking about, your name is Nicki Minaj, first of all. Minaj means you're with either two like men or Nicki two women Minaj. With yourself.
Pretty much, you getting partied.
So, exactly.
Nicki either getting partied.
Two women, which is
in
according to the scriptures.
It's crazy.
Is haram or illegal or whatever you want to call it, or two men or two women, whatever it is, it's like too much sex.
Too much.
We are over sex.
Yeah,
you tell me shut up.
Yeah, we're gonna wrap it up, man.
I know.
Yeah, we're gonna wrap it up. we both got long winded with this topic. Hang on, I got more topics coming.
Shout out to Cardi B.
Yeah, y'all, I'm back. That Diddy fiasco is just a lot to take in, a lot to talk about. It's a very hot trending topic right now, but fuck all that. I'm about to get into my next topic. And my next topic is rappers who could have had a bigger career. And I gotta ask, did they just lack the drive to propel themselves to go further? Or was it a drug addiction? Or maybe it was repeated offenders? Or was it the industry politics that stumbled their music careers? So I'm going to get into five rappers I picked that I'm going to mention who I think had the talent to really blow up. I'm going to start with Ali Vegas. And listen, I don't know if y'all know, Ali Vegas is from South Queens, Jamaica, New York. When I heard Ali Vegas, he was on this mixtape. A song called The Specialist Specialist. It ended up on the what movie was that? The motherfucking In Too Deep soundtrack. That movie. It ended up on that soundtrack. You know, he signed to Columbia Records in 1999 and was connected to the Trackmasters. Debut album never came out. He bounced around to being signed to other different labels. His official debut album coming out in 2008. And that's like 8 years later. Like, his buzz just dried the fuck up. He ended up going independent and he released 11 mixtapes. Now, I'm going to tell you, Ali, I thought for sure would be one of those ones. He had the vocal tone. He had the bars. He had the flow. I mean, many around that time when he first dropped, many were saying that he was like the second coming of Nas. I don't know if they were saying that because he was, you know, from Queens, but Nas from Queensbridge and he was from South Jamaica, Queens. I guess they were just tying it all together. But it seems like with his career, most likely the politics of the industry fucked his career up. The next artist I gotta mention, Cannabis. Man, Cannabis was a lyrical beast. Boy was flaming every feature he was on. I mean, he was popping. He was popping up on like some songs with legendary rappers. I mean, so many people that I just can't name right now. He was on a song with The Firm, a song called Desperados with AZ and Nature. Another song he was featuring on with The Lost Boys featuring Redman, A Plus, and some other artists. And that was called Beast from the East, where he spit like 60 bars of fucking heat. Like,
The fucking verse was probably about almost 2 minutes fucking long. I mean, 60 plus bars. And I think that was like in 97. And we all know about the beef that he had with LL. Yeah, that was legendary. Definitely like a dope moment in hip hop. And Cannabis, his management was doing a great job of making him known and building up the hype for his debut album. 98, the album dropped and it flopped due to fucking Wyclef. Wyclef handled most of the production. Come on, like, who the fuck is Wyclef? Like, Wyclef, why would you choose Wyclef to do your production, number one? Like, come on, man. Like, that's where Cannabis went wrong. I don't know who all was involved in that, like, what's up with his team. But to choose Wyclef to do the bulk of your production on your debut album is just, it's just a no good. Like, it's just a no-win situation. I mean, he had a few good songs on there, but overall, the hype balloon built up for him just inflated fast for him over that album. But believe it or not, though, his second album, 2000 BC, was pretty good. I think once the majors stopped fucking with Cannabis and seeing he couldn't make, like, hit songs, his career took a hit, especially with the style of rap. Around that time, it wasn't popular no more. So going into the early 2000s and moving on, like, he couldn't move no records. So I think that's what happened with the politics with Cannabis. Number three, Juice Santana. Excuse me, I gotta relax. I'm kind of fucked up right now. It's the killer kicking in. Juice was nice. He was a perfect fit for the Diplomats because he really was the dopest one after Cameron. You know, let's keep it a bean. Jim Jones just wasn't that dude. Whatever, Freaky Zeke, he was just a hype man and a goon. He ain't had no bars. So with Jones on songs, his talent shine. He only released two studio albums though. It was one in 2003 and another in 2005. I don't know. Santana was just, he was having more success with the mixtapes more than the albums. And then here we go. Dipset ended up going through the internal feuds and they broke up. But still, Juelz wasn't releasing any music around that time. And I could quote Cam was saying that Juelz, he's sitting on a bunch of recorded songs that he hasn't. Yeah, so it's looking like Juelz got a loaded motherfucking desktop. When I mean his desktop, I'm talking about his computer, because nigga definitely got songs that's just sitting on his computer that he just not putting them out. It seems to me at some point in his career, he lost the love of being a rapper, but still he wants to live the life of a rapper. And honestly, I don't think people want to hear from him nowadays. Like, he just need to wrap it up. So number four, Saigon. Saigon created one of the biggest buzz for himself on the underground hip hop scene by releasing so many dope mixtapes. Saigon's style was different. He did a good job of blending street rap with positive messages. His flow was original. And one of the best things about him was he could make good songs. So many rappers can rap, but not many can make records worth getting radio spins. Saigon can do that. Excuse me, Saigon could do that. Saigon ended up signing with Atlantic Records and end up linking up with producer Just Blaze. Man, Just Blaze probably was the best thing to happen for him. Just Blaze produced his debut album. That was 2004. And due to the issues with the Atlantic Records and sample clearances, Saigon's debut album never came out until 2011. Yo, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? This nigga was signed in 2004 and your debut album don't come out to 2011 due to sample clearances and other record label bullshit. It's crazy, yo. But He still went on to release albums independently and got on to doing acting and shit on Entourage and other shit, yo. So far as with Saigon career, is definitely industry politics that fucked his career up, yo. Real shit. Like, I don't know what he doing now. I see him on Twitter though. PD Crack, number 5, yo. PD Crack from North Philly, State Property. Yo, he had the most star potential out of the group. He had it all. The look, the original flow with catchy lyrics, and his feature on Freeway's Flipside. Man, that solidified him as one of the most talented members. That song became one of Freeway's biggest songs to this day. That solo song that PD had, One for PD, was the shit. It was a street banger. PD, you're like, his music career was moving in the right direction. You know, especially when he killed it on the Neo song, Stay. It was a wrap. Everyone was saying, like, damn, PD, the next ball to blow. But, nope. Between PD having issues with Jay-Z and catching criminal cases, none of his albums ever got released. Only music he have out is those mixtapes. And looks like he might have just gave up after all the issues with record labels and shit like that. Crazy. He definitely had a very promising career. Enough.
Come, Your Highness. They await you.
Well, it was one of those days.
Not much to do.
I was chilling downtown
with my old school crew.
I went into a store.
Yes, y'all. This week's classic album of the week is Sports, Drugs, and Entertainment by Cam'ron, released September 19th, 2000 via Epic Records. Yo, this album, in my opinion, was Cam's best. His debut album was a fucking dud with about 2 dope songs. But this Sports, Drugs, and Entertainment album, yo, it just captured Cam at his best. The nigga had Beyonce feature on here. I mean, she was still with Destiny Child, but yo, that's dope as fuck. The classic song Losing Weight featuring legendary Prodigy, rest in peace, yo. Rest in peace to Prodigy from Mobb Deep, was an instant hood banger. Cam even showed up-and-coming Philly rappers some love by having them on the song. Dutch and Speedo, Where I'm From. The song is full of gangster lyricism. Man, that shit just... that. Actually, I think Speedo probably got Cam on that joint, yo. Cam verse was dope, but I think Speedo probably got the best verse on that song. And them niggas was buzzing at the time. That was a little bit before, you know, Spado did his time or whatever. But, yo, I was snapping when I first heard the song Let Him Know with the Monday Night Football theme sample. Yo, that shit was crazy nice. And Cam didn't disappoint with the bars and the energy. Like, I don't know how someone can not even get hype when hearing that song. Like, that song just make a nigga hype, yo. Just make you wanna, you know, put a uniform on or something and go tackle a nigga or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? But to this day, I'm still banging this album. Make sure y'all go listen if you never heard it. Peace.
Back uptown, baby. Lennox Ave. Yo. Nigga. Yo, about to spit hospitable, physical, but shit's getting critical. The way cats biting it, despicable, pitiful, unoriginal, the shit is miserable. I'm a bitch.